Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chipchar.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, coming from GAA headquarters, just off the famous Jones's Road at Croke Park. Donegal win it late against Armagh to seal the Allianz National League Division 2 title. On the weekend's edition, we hear from Donegal selector Neil McGee, the 100-man Ciarán Thompson, who was superb today, Jason Byrne of the Irish Sun, Michael Clifford of the Irish Daily Mail. But first, let's hear from our commentary team today at Ocean FM. It's Kilcar's Mark McHugh and Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat.
Donegal, for periods of the game, were excellent. They controlled most of it by that last wee 10-minute spell. But some big performance by Donegal. People stepped up today that don't usually step up because of the big men, if you want to call them, missing. So I don't know who turned the ball over there at the end, but Shane O'Donnell and Aaron Doherty kind of got on the end of it. And it was a great counter-attack. We could have got a goal from it. But no, listen, as a Donegal people, delighted. It's always good to get a bit of silverware. And we'll take that and move on.
Yeah, you have to credit the Donegal defence there over the 74 minutes. I think they've been the amount of ball that they turned over when Armagh looked really threatening. I think that was the winning of the game in the end. In the end, I suppose Donegal probably should have won by more. Aaron Doherty, they should have punished that last turnover. But, you know, overall, it's a great result for those young fellas playing in Croke Park. You know, with the team that Donegal have out there today, with so many newcomers to this big occasion, and the young fellas, like the Shane O'Donnells and the Kieran Moores, performed very well. Aaron Doherty probably at the end should have had another point, but he got the winning point for Donegal, and that's something to do in Croke Park as well, to score the winning point in a game that was really in the melting point. You know, the experience that those fellas will get to be battling to win a game in the last couple of minutes of added time. Like it looked like it was gone for them when Armagh went ahead, but they put the heads down again. And that's someone that Jim McGuinness brings to the table in Donegal, that fighting spirit at the end. And they won a game probably that they didn't deserve. They didn't deserve to win at the very end, because Armagh were coming at them in droves.
But deserved to win it overall over the 74, is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, over, but like Armagh, I wonder how they lost it when they were in control of the game towards the end. We're actually trying to create goal chances when they should have probably taken points at the end. I think they were afraid to shoot with that swirling breeze. But I just give credit to that Donegal defence. They really stood up when it was needed. And that's the reason why they won the possession. Like 20 minutes without scoring, it looked very, very bad for them at that stage. But, you know, a brilliant finish. And, you know, another Division 2 title for Jim McGuinness. You know, that's his second. And more medals for those Donegal players.
Yeah, listen, it's a massive morale boost. It's a confidence boost for every single member of that Donegal team. The other great thing about it gives these young lads saying, you know, there's a position there for me on the field if I really want it. You know, it doesn't matter who's... Like, we keep saying about people being missing. Right now, they're not available. So these boys have to step up, and they have to today. We spoke about Kieran Moore. What a find he's been throughout the league, like, for Donegal. You know, and he's been playing club football, you know, the last number of years, but I didn't know he was as good as he was, and fair play to him. You know, I think he said he hasn't scored in the whole league, and I'm amazed that he hasn't, because the way he plays his football. You know, Keenan McColligan, great to have him back as well today. Mark Curran, another find during the league. He's got moments there throughout the last number of years, but you know, this league campaign, he's really stood up. And again today, you know, Armagh's full forward line, bar them last maybe maybe 5 minutes. They kept them to a point from play. Like, you know, Andrew Murnan did nothing all day. Kieran Moore destroyed him and then put him up the other way. We spoke about the half-back line throughout the league. I suppose Ryan Padder and Keelan McGonigal was your main threat. Shane McDonald stepped in the other day and played unbelievable football, especially that second half. And again, your forwards, Kieran Thompson, Oisin Gallen and Niall O'Donnell had massive games and towards the end Aaron Doherty as well. So real positive. It's going to give people, it's going to put a bite of tenor over the next few weeks. There's positions there for grabs. Who's going to get them?
Yeah, and yeah. I think there was good game management there by Jim McGuinness as well. He brought Jason McGee off to have him ready for Ulster Championship. He also brought Niall O'Donnell off, and I think Niall, I would say, had a very, very good 45, 50 minutes today. Like, that'll really help him going forward as well. So, you know, there's a lot of positives in that game for Donegal.
Yeah, because when Armagh came at the end, Armagh were emptier in the bench. Donegal were also making changes from a team that were already missing loads of players, Mark. And maybe structurally and with that momentum, Armagh just got a foothold then for about 10 minutes. But it was like the Donegal players that had come on, took them a couple of minutes, but then they started, they got their kick up the backside almost with about 5-6 minutes left. Yeah, so it was brilliant to see.
I think it came off the Armagh kickout. The Donegal kickout. Armagh pressed us and we weren't moving as freely and cohesionally as we were maybe throughout the game. And that happens with changes. That's just automatically going to happen. Now, the question I would like to ask Armagh is, after doing so well to get back in the game and get the point up, they completely stepped off the kickout and allowed Donegal to get back in the game. That is a cardinal sin. You know, why not just keep going the way you do? Donegal looked tired. They looked fatigued towards the end of the game, and they give that opportunity to sit back and let Armagh kick, or let Donegal kick easy scores through Aaron Doherty, and then Keelan McGonigal got the other one outside the boot. Yeah. So they're going to have a bit of homework to do. You know, they'll probably have an easier passage through to the Ulster final than we do, and they'll reflect. But again, that's another big loss for Armagh and Kilmacock.
Yeah, but isn't that something that Armagh have done over the last number of years? Like, they've looked like a side that can do something, but when it comes down to the crunch, they fail every time.
Yeah, 100%. Against Monaghan here last year, Ulster final against Derry, they got on the point, and they just, once they get a lead, they just set off, and listen, they're going to have to look at it. Donegal's left in the cup there, Paddy McBurney and Kieran Thompson. What a game he had today. And them boys are down there. Great morale boot, but yes, Peter, you're spot on. Armagh's going to have a lot of soul searching after this, because let's be straight, between maybe 6-7 Donegal regular starters, and Armagh had nearly their whole team out there. You know, where do they go from here?
Yeah, it's all the positives there from that game are from Donegal. Hopefully there's no injuries. Kieran Moore was limping a little bit, but he went back in, and he has been the find of the year so far. Caelan McCaughan as well got through an awful lot of work today, and like, we have Jason McGee back on the field, and Niall O'Donnell for 50 minutes. And it's like they're all positive for Donegal. If they can get even half of their injured list back for the Derry game, they're going to be much, much, much stronger. Obviously, the Derry challenge will be much, much stronger than Armagh's. But you know, they have 3 weeks to get ready for that now, and like there'll be nothing only confidence in those lads after, especially the younger lads after playing in Croke Park.
Yeah, there you have it. So thanks a million to all our listeners right throughout the globe, wherever you're tuning in. It's only coming out, well, the end of March, we're almost in April. Championship 3 weeks around the corner. Overall, just final word there, Mark, just overall, just really positive afternoon.
Yeah, Peter said, listen, all the positives today are with the Donegal team. It's the younger lads that came in, it's the finds we have in the championship, it's the boys that are coming back. Listen, yes, we can chat about the boys that are missing. We can chat about the Owen Bands, the Ryan McHughes, the Patrick McBurdies, the Connor Dolls, but it's who's available at this any time. And today, Mountain men stepped up. Kieran Thompson was my man of the match, closely followed by Niall O'Donnell and Kieran Moore. Shane O'Donnell had a huge second half along with Aaron Doherty, and even Michael Lang has stepped up a wee bit. Keelan McGonigal has been another, I suppose, if you want to say, find of the league at centre half, and I think what by him being at centre back, I think it's actually stopping teams from kicking the ball more into Donegal, because he's such a big man at centre half. So that's stopping the kick. You look at Armagh, done that a lot, maybe up in Armagh this year. So positive day for Donegal, positive day for a lot of them young lads, and it's great. Listen, I know there's obviously a few of them Donegal lads have silverware for Donegal, but a lot of them don't, and it's always nice to get your first bit of silverware. It's a medal at the end of the day, and you know, we don't have that many medals to play for in GAA, so it's always good to get one.
Michael Clifford of the Irish Daily Mail, Jason Byrne, better known to his legions of fans as Mosey in Southwest Donegal. Michael Clifford, your first ever appearance on the Donegal GAA podcast.
And you've humbled, got a humbled, Paddy, humbled.
A beautiful, that's a beautiful Kerry accent, isn't it?
Well, you have to go to college for that. You have certain elocution lessons you get for that.
Do they understand you? You're living in Donegal town.
I've got subtitles that run across the chest. They make it out.
That's fine. Everyone has to use subtitles when I'm talking. What did you make of the Donegal Armagh game?
Look, it was in many ways as a typical Division 2 final. You know, there was no doubt Donegal dominated the game for about 60 minutes. It was a kind of a non-event. It often happens with Division 2 finals because you've big counties in a small prize, but there's no doubt both teams wanted to go after it. I think Donegal feel very good after it because you're talking 5-6 starters to come into that team, and some of the guys that have, particularly I thought him and Kieran Moore, who I haven't seen a whole pile of, thought he was very good. And it was only when Kieran Moore really went off the field, and he wasn't, and they didn't have a replacement, that Armagh came into the game at the end. But I mean, Donegal's control of that was pretty absolute for long periods, you know.
The absentees is a key theme. We spoke with Mark McHugh and Peter Campbell, and we can't almost underplay that Armagh didn't start with full strength. But Donegal, you said 5-6, possibly 7 championship starters. You mentioned the word feel good. I think Jim McGuinness will feel quite good over that.
He will. And I mean, if you just look at from the Armagh point of view, some of their comfort has been taken away by the fact that they finished with a pretty strong team. Soupy Campbell came on. Marino Neal had a big impact when he came on. So, you know, when you're talking guys at the calibre of particularly Brendan McCall, Owen Bond, Ryan McHugh, Paddy Beck-Priority, Darrow Boyle, there's a lot of big guys missing out of that. So, yeah, look, I think they're in a very good place. I think, the most important thing from Donegal's point of view is they came down here, won in Croke Park. The one thing they'll take from the league is momentum. I mean, whatever the trophy itself is, let's be honest about it, it's not going to be worth a whole pile at the end of the season. The momentum that they'll help bring them into the championship certainly will help.
Just finally, I know you need to go out. You're reporting on the Derry-Dublin game. We obviously don't know the result of that, but by the time the podcast goes out, we do. The general landscape, though, moving forward for Donegal in Ulster and possibly beyond, where do you look into your crystal ball? What do you foresee? It's a horrific opening round, Donegal.
It's a horrific opening round, but there's a strong case to make that maybe it's also the two best teams are meeting in the opening round. I think after this league, a lot of people would look at it and think that maybe there's been certain slippage in Tyrone, and that's been a gradual slippage over the last couple of seasons. Armagh have this thing where, I mean, look, they're always competitive, but they never really seem to win. You know, they never seem to get over the line in big games. The one thing you can say for certain about the Ulster Championship, about Donegal and Derry, is that both of them are better versions of themselves than were 12 months ago. Now, that was an easy thing for Donegal, let's be honest about it, where they were 12 months ago. It's a bigger achievement by Derry to be better than where they were 12 months ago. But it just goes to show how Donegal's status has risen. I think at the end of the day, no matter what happens in that first round game, they'll be even, and I know people don't like hearing this in Donegal or in Ulster, but there'll be certain benefits even for the team that do lose. They'll get a 5-week, 6-week training bank. I think what we can safely say, I'll be very surprised if Donegal aren't in the last 8 of the championship. And if you're a serious county, that's when the championship really starts.
Michael Clifford, you're an absolute gentleman. I'm not even going to ask you about Kerry, because Kerry people just cannot give straight answers no matter what you do. So thank you so much. The way you're looking at me here, I'm worried I'm going to get hit here or something.
Listen, Kerry is the county of truth and reconciliation. We have no issues in that. Too honest for our own good, Paddy.
Kerry have many greats. Michael Clifford is definitely one of them. It's a funny point that, isn't it, Michael makes, because I know Jim McGuinness and the Donegal team, Jason, I'm really struggling with the whole Jason thing, because it's mosey for anybody tuning in. Jason, everybody, I suppose for outside listeners, tuning in, like, you look at Donegal, right, and we'd say, well, if they lose to Derry, it's actually not the worst thing in the world, but it is for Jim McGuinness and the team. But if we're taking the helicopter and we're just surveying the championship as a whole.
Yeah, exactly, Paddy, like, and you know, Ulster's just like so much different. Like, you know, you're going through the motions when you look at the other championship draws and Leinster and Munster, and I know it's still a 3-horse race in Connacht, but Ulster's just so much different. And that game now, the attention turns straight away to Celtic Park on April 20th. Jim McGuinness is probably across in the Cusick stand now, harping on about that game. He was probably harping on about it for the last 8 weeks anyway, but you know, it's all steam ahead towards that now. You know, and as you said, like Mayo last year, for example, you know, they played here in the league final, they went and they lost to Roscommon the following week, and they had a chance to go and get that huge bank of training in, and then they went and they beat Galway and Sol Tull, but then they kind of ran out of steam and Dublin tanked them here at Croke Park. So you need to really handle the calendar. We were talking to Jim on Monday night at the Ulster Championship lunch, and he kept making that point that it's been a huge adjustment for him alone to try and deal with this calendar in terms of how close the league and the championship is. Like, even if you leaf back, I was leaping back to 2012 during the week for a piece, like, and just the gaps between the games were just so big. Like, the Kerry game and the Cork game, the two games, Donegal won here and the other in quarterfinal and semi-final. I think there was 4 weeks between those. And then there was another three, I think, before they played Mayo here in the final. So those gaps aren't here anymore. When you get into the business end between semi-final and final, I think it's 2 weeks. But even after the All-Ireland round robin, which everyone will be focusing on after the provincials, like, it's bang, bang, bang. And if you get an injury, you're snookered and it could be lights out. But he won't even be thinking about that yet. It's just Derry, 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 Derry. And it's just April 20th. That date is going to be up on the dressing room wall already.
I know, and I know you need to go in and watch the Derry Dublin game, because you're spot on. And Jim, I categorically agree with him. He said, with when he was talking to Brendan Devaney, people talk down the Railway Cup, and the Railway Cup is not a big thing anymore. People are now talking down the National League, and I totally get that, and probably not the same bite as it was 10, 15 years ago. And it's amazing what the propagandists can do. And if we do put stuff out in the mainstream media, local media, about the importance of something, you know, its ramifications can actually drop somewhat. But the new championship, though, again, he's not going to be looking at that saying, like, because he doesn't want to talk down Ulster, because it's given him some of the best days as a manager ever. And the fact he didn't, you know, get much success as a player in his main years, okay, he was very young in 92. So, in a way, but overall, if they do lose, they're not going to want to lose. It actually kind of, they'll still be probably okay because of that break.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, you made the point about the provinces there. Think back to that day against Derry in 2011 in Clonus, yeah, and the emotion around that. Like, that was absolutely massive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Donegal people were streaming onto the pitch at the end. It was just huge. It was just huge. There was grown men crying and everything. Like, and that's how much Ulster meant and how much it still means. I think Ulster is just different compared to the other three, and it is going to be the be-all and end-all for now, but it's not the end of the world if they lose, given the way the calendar is, and they'll have that round-robin series to look forward to. And whoever they come across in that, you have three massive games, one home, one away, one in a neutral venue, and then you're into the All-Ireland series proper. There's a lot of games, there's a lot to handle there, he's a lot of injuries in his plate at the minute, he needs those to clear up. But if you get one in Ulster, that's the thing, that's the minefield. Are you going to come out of Ulster with a clean bill of health, no matter how far you get? Because that's going to be crucial down the line too, when the games are bang, bang, bang. And if someone picks up a bad hamstring injury or an ankle problem, that could be their championship over. So it's all about getting those casualties back. Like, Michael Clifford listed them there. Like, it's going to be huge to get those men back in the field. But it was massive for them today to get that win with what was pretty much a second string team. The big men stood up. Kieran Thompson, Niall O'Donnell, both fantastic. You know, I thought they were just immense. Oisin Gallen as well, and the defence, so disciplined in that second half when Armagh were really coming at them and really turning the screw, and it looked like they were going to win. Huge character there at the end to kick those scores and win the game, and that'll give them a huge bounce now. When they turn that attention towards championship tonight, they'll be talking about it before they leave Dublin here anyway.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And last one, and by the way, we're not saying Donegal are going to lose to Derry, we're just kind of looking at it, trying to look at it objectively. Just finally, you're the main man now, the GA correspondent for the Irish Sun. You have a new house, you moved into it, you have a baby on the way. So, unbelievable times for the great Killybegs, the proud son of Killybegs.
Yeah, it's all good, Paddy, it's all good. I miss Killybegs a lot too, try and get home as much as I can, get home about once a month, so it's great. Like, but it's great coming up here, watching Donegal and seeing Huey come on in the second half, and hopefully see Owen Bann, you know, come in the championship too, because, like, it's, you know, a lot of Killybegs people mightn't really want to say it, but there was big regret in 2012 and we had nobody in the panel, you know. I remember that day Sam Maguire came into the town and there was none of our own up on the stage. It was just like, you know, Huey came onto the squad then in 2014. He's been there ever since and been a brilliant servant, and Owen Bann's there as well. So hopefully they have a big summer under Jim, because Huey only got to play under him under 1 year when he was only fresh in the squad as a nipper. And can't wait to see what Jim does with Owen Bann as well, because, you know, when he's at his tilt, he can be awesome. So it'd be great to see the work that Jim does with him and the plans he has for him too coming down the line. So hopefully he's fit and ready for the big ones that are coming.
I can't wait to see Mosey Jr. going to GAA games with you. I suppose I better call you Jason Byrne of the Irish Sun. Kelly Beggs, and now Athlone. Athlone County, Roscommon, though, not Athlone County, Westmeath. We're both Midlanders. It does hurt. It does hurt.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the
still not comfortable with it.
I know our child's going to identify as a Rossie. Like, you know, it's very, very strange. Like, I'm going to have to try and get the Donegal gear ready and have it ready for the maternity ward. So just to nail the colours to the mast. But yeah, sure, what can you do?
There are worse things in life. Jason Byrne, better known as Mosey of the Irish Sun, thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast. Okay, thanks to the lads for staying on with me to dissect that one. Let's now hear from the Donegal camp. Up first, it's Donegal legend Neil McGee, who of course is selector now. And he is followed by the standby captain for today, Kieran Thompson. Neil McGee joins me on the Donegal GAA podcast. I was used to saying Donegal player Neil McGee, but I better rephrase it. Donegal selector Neil McGee. Yourself, Colin McFadden and Luke Barrett there. You got stung by me, but listen, what a win for your side.
Yeah, great one. In terms of the overall day, couldn't have went any better in terms of getting game time into boys. That's what we were after. Jason McGee, Keelan McColligan there, with Niall O'Donnell. You know, to get 40 minutes into all them boys, that was the main target for the day, and that was brilliant. And then to come show the character, then to come back, I'm going to point down, then come back then and really got three in a row. That was another big positive.
And we were just actually saying with Peter Campbell and Mark McHugh, like, us in the media and supporters talk about injuries, okay. Sometimes you can't do anything about that. No. But that sometimes is fuel for other lads and for management. Here, you can come in here, stake your place, because those stages in that second half, when Armagh emptied, brought on their big guns, these young and inverted commas, inexperienced and inverted commas, Donegal players held out.
Exactly, like, we're looking out and everyone that threw on was 6'3", 6'4", you know, and, but, you know, the two O'Neills went on, Stephen Campbell, you know, all big men, like, and our boys had to react to that, and I think they've done well, like, you know, particularly, like, Sir Keelan McGonigal there, Michael Langan came good at the last 5 minutes, Patter Morgan, you know, your big players stood up, and Oisin Gallen, you know, the boys stood up, and that's just the main thing.
Listen, I know management teams never want to single out anybody, but there were some incredible performances this afternoon. Kieran Thompson making his 100th appearance today, competitive, unbelievable. Shane O'Donnell, Niall O'Donnell. I thought, you know all about that number three role. I thought Kieran Moore was incredible as well.
He's been brilliant. Like, he's played half forward, midfield, half back, and the full back. Like, he's so versatile, and that's a credit to him. It's just what his conditioning and his physicality. Like, he can start on anywhere there, you know.
Gustav's overall just a really, really pleasing day, Neil, and I would imagine for these lads, I counted 7, I think, starters their first game in Croke Park. It's not just about winning the Division 2, it's just nearly symbolically the fact it was done in Croke Park under the cosh.
It's experience, you know. The main target of the division is getting promoted, and then this is like a bonus then, getting in here and getting that exposure then for some of them boys. A lot of them have never played there, and the way they acquitted themselves then was been top class, you know.
And the injuries in general, is it just wait and see how a lot of them are?
Wait and see, no, exactly. Hopefully the next couple of weeks will tell a tale, like, but we're on the right road. We're on the graph's going up anyway in terms of that, so it's very positive.
Just finally, Derry, I know you want to get out and watch them. They're playing Dublin. Whatever happens here, by the time the podcast goes out, we're not going to know the result. Yous are still going to be big, big underdogs. They're chasing three in a row in Ulster, and yous will make no secret about that.
No, exactly. Like, we're going into Celtic Park and we're going to be up against it now, so we haven't really couldn't concentrate there. So next 3 weeks all about Derry, so we'll get down now Tuesday night and hopefully get a game plan together to try and do something in Celtic Park.
Neil McGee, you're a gentleman. Thank you very much. Delighted to be joined by the 100 man, Niamh Connell's Kieran Thompson, Donegal captain today, of course, in the absence of Paddy McBrearty. How do you? We'll get to the 100 in a moment. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, listen, it's a big, big performance there. We played well. We done well. We were 4 points up maybe going into the closing stages, but we always knew Armagh would come back. So for them to go a point up and then for us to show that character to fight back was really massive, you know, and just to get the win in Croke Park is brilliant.
Yeah, because I was talking to a number of players, a number of your own club mates, and many of them, it's their first time actually playing in Croke Park. So whatever about winning Division 2, and we've said that on the show already, winning a football game, symbolically, young lads winning in Croke Park, it means a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, that's where you're going to get massive experience, boys, to get playing in here. And over the league, we've blooded a lot of new players, and we've blooded boys that are just coming in there the last couple of years. So it's a hugely positive league. So it's great to top it off there today.
I know I spoke to Neil McGee about this and discussing it with Peter Campbell and Mark McHugh. Us lads in the media and supporters are talking about injuries and that, and it's not ideal when you have key players missing. But in a way, some of those lads just come in. They've been working hard all year, and I know it is a cliche sometimes, it's a squad game and that, but that was really shown today against what finished to be a really experienced Armagh team.
Yeah, listen, you're always going to have injuries at different points in time, and I suppose the big one now is in 3 weeks, so there was probably no chances taken on that regard. But it's just massive for them boys to come in and to get their chance, and to get their chance in Croke Park is just special for them, and to get a victory, and every man played hard and played well, so can't complain.
Thought Niall O'Donnell, I know you lads don't single anyone out, Shane O'Donnell, were both incredible. You were absolutely sublime yourself. A word on Kieran Moore. He's come in this year, and maybe people that go to county games that don't go to club games over the last years are 11 outs of the county for one reason or another. What a league he's at.
Yeah, brilliant. Now he's been unbelievable. You know, he has sublime athleticism. You see it in training day in, day out. He really is. He's a prime athlete, you know, and he's taken that into the league. He's no fear or anything, so he really got his just rewards over the league, and he's been given a chance, and he put his massive hand up now for championships, so fair play to him.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. Just a word on yourself on a personal level. It must be nice when you're... I know it's only another game, but you got your 100 in Croke Park. I know you wouldn't have minded it in Glenties or any club field right throughout Donegal, and you wouldn't have, but nice to get it, and nice to get it, you know, in Croke Park on the, you know, on a final when you're captain, and the first, you're incredible.
Aye, listen, it fell into place nicely, I suppose. It's nice them wee personal achievements now, definitely. But I suppose the main one was getting the win and getting the trophy there today. But now, listen, I'll reflect back on it in a few years' time and be very grateful and proud there. Huge day for my family and that as well, so delighted for them.
I just want to ask you, though, what is the difference in playing in Croke Park as a player? Because I didn't want to be annoying the younger lads, asking them, what is it actually like stepping out onto Croke Park as one of those younger players? Because it's different, isn't it? It's different for supporters, media, players. What is it about playing there?
It definitely is different. You know, Croke Park, you would have looked up to it when you were a child. That's where everyone wants to aspire to be, the place for their county. They want to play in Croke Park. So it has that wee aura about it, you know, and just everything is just top class. The pitch, the dress rooms, everything is just top class and really professional. So that's where you want to be, and yeah, it holds that special place.
Last one, I know you want to go watch Derry Donegal. It is Derry up next, and I know people will be listening in from outside Donegal to this, saying we're trying to do the Kerry, the cute so-and-sos, but Derry are going for 3 in a row in Ulster. They were within a kick of a ball, almost in an All-Ireland final last year. It's going to be a big ask, isn't it, Kieran?
Aye, it's going to be absolutely massive. Derry are, they really are flying, and they're leading the line there. They're up there with Dublin and Kerry, and as the top three probably in Ireland at the minute, so it's going to be a huge task. But listen, the boys are there, and we'll hopefully get bodies back in the pitch there now over the next couple of weeks, and we'll just give it everything, going into Celtic Park, and we'll go down with a fight anyway, and we'll give it everything.
Congrats on Division 2, congrats on 100, and thank you so much from every Donegal supporter. You've been just a fabulous servant in the green and gold, and many more big days to come, and you fitted it off by lifting the cup. Well done, Kieran.
Cheers, thanks very much.
Okay, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Thanks to all my guests and to you, our loyal listeners. And a special shout out to the main man back at base, Austy O'Callaghan. Donegal played Derry in 3 weeks' time in the opening round of the Ulster Championship, and we will begin our preview show in the week leading up to that one. Until then, bye for now. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.